this week, on the 25th of June 1970, with the Football League discussing the possibility of the formation of a fifth division in time for the 1971-72 campaign, a special meeting of supporters club was held at Plough Lane to hand over a cheque for £2,250 to the parent club. "We need you to raise a very substantial amount of money this year," Chairman Stanley Jasper told fans. "We're doing all we can to control costs, but to achieve anything, we must have your maximum support over the next year." Fans contributing to the club. It's what we do. We're the same old Wombles. We're back. Hello, dear listener. Welcome to our third summer special. Yes, we can't stay away because during the season, we like to do one podcast a week. In the off season, we like to do at least two. Yes, it's a special, sexy edition because the fixtures have come out. There's some new players that have been signed, and we've got the kits that have come out as well. So it's all fun and games. I am excited to be joined by my friend Niall Cooper. Hello, Niall. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Matty?
I'm very well. Thank you very much for asking. And I'm joined by the man with the buttons, our producer, the wonderful Dr. Adam Proctor. How are you, Adam?
What? It's kit release day. I'm over the moon. And then my weekend has been made.
Yeah, exactly. So much going on. And today, this morning, I was putting up the exhibition in the unit in the Wimbledon Quarter, what was used to be called the old Centre Court. So that's going to be opening from tomorrow. But it's like hanging bits and making sure that was all right. So it feels like even though we're in the off season, there's been so much going on around the club. It's just completely crazy. But let's start with the fixtures that have come out. How is everyone feeling about that? I mean, it's kind of mad. You look at it and you go, good grief, we've got some tough games coming up. Niall, what's your thoughts?
I think it would be nice if we could get a point in August. I mean, like, that is a tough start, isn't it? I mean, like, looting away. I mean, like, that is basically, let's take the team that was the highest ranked team to drop into League One and playing against the lowest ranked team to get into League One. So that is just, you know, really difficult. I mean, Luton Town obviously still have parachute payments. They're actually a well-run club, and I know quite a lot of people at Luton, but that is tough. It's obviously ongoing. That's going to be some game. And then following up with Lincoln at home, who are like just missed out on the playoffs. Reading away, I mean, that's like, thanks a lot, mate. Then Cardiff at home, another relegated team. Just what is that? That is a rock solid hard start to the season. But then, you know, we're in League One. We have to take the rough with the smooth, and that is the rough. So,
all the fixtures are tough. But it's because we're in League One. I mean, we can't be hanging out in League Two all the time, going, oh, you know, I think we can get points here, there, and whatever. But We're in
well,
League One, and we want to be playing these sides. And I'm like, yeah, it's tough, but you know, we're Wimbledon. That's the thing. We're going to fight. We're going to fight all these.
I'm looking at November and December, and going, those fixtures look like all right, but August looks rubbish. But luckily, I'm away for quite a few of those games, so I'll just be like try my best. No, I won't. I'll be tuning in at 3 o'clock in the morning, finding out. But like, you know, whatever. Unbelievable.
Adam, what do you think? Is this why you wanted us to stay down in League Two?
No. I think the fixtures are all cool. They all look very difficult. I mean, obviously, what I'm annoyed about, obviously, Friday the 1st, Luton Town away, evening game. Obviously, it's on TV for all the reasons Niall's just said. And that's just so weird to kick off the season on a Friday. So that is just wrong. So that's annoying. And maybe if it had been a different day, I might have. Obviously, I lived in Luton for a while. So maybe it had been a different day, I would have gone. But I'm not going there on a Friday night. Blimey. What was the other one? Cardiff. Seriously, the day Wednesday, I was saying to everyone, okay, the only thing you all need to think about is that Cardiff has to be a Saturday game because I want to go. And then again, it's at the beginning of the season, which should be nice. It's sunny. You know, it could have been a whole nice day, weekend out in Cardiff, but no, it's Tuesday night. Great. So
Well,
you
no,
think
the
infuriating.
the first time we played is also on a
It's
Tuesday.
also on a Tuesday.
It's a home. It's at home on that on the Tuesday the 19th is at home. You know, which it, but the away one
Tuesday
is
17.
Tuesday 17th of February away. And I don't understand why they're both away games. So I mean, like, you know, at the when we get go up, one of the first things you do is you look and you go, what are the away games? Because we like to sort of go away and stay over the night, get to know the place a little bit. And I was really looking
Hang
forward
out with
to a
the players.
night out. Yeah, exactly. That's what me and Niall do. Find out where the team stand, hang out there. But I mean, like, you know, I don't. I think it will be very, very difficult for me personally, work wise, to get to Cardiff on a Tuesday night, and certainly stay over would just be nigh on impossible. So now you look and you go, what are the away trips? Because I was also thinking Exeter would be a lovely away trip. That's also on a Tuesday night in December. So, you know,
We've had a bit of a discussion about Plymouth, though, haven't we? So I've been to Plymouth from Southampton. I mean, I did end up I spent an hour somewhere because of the train just stopped and said, we are no longer continuing, which was a bit of where the heck was that? Somewhere weird. But Plymouth, you can get to.
You always have a Reggie Perry moment
Yeah, I know,
whenever you're
that's
getting
true.
anywhere. There's always a Reggie Perry moment going on with you. Plymouth on the 18th of October. Anyhow,
I
it's
mean, the
just
good, it does say there's a little asterisk at the bottom that says all fixtures subject to change. So
yeah, that's right.
they might get
That's
really
right.
good.
They're supposed to be finalised, aren't they? In next start of July, because that's when they've said they're going to get all the TV fixtures sorted for the first half of the season. So we will know all August, September, October, November, December games and the times they're starting in the start of July, so we can properly plan, because that was one big thing. It was a big kickback. And then all the second half of the fixtures, half of the season, the television dates will all be decided in November. So there we will get a bit more of a timing than we have had before. So that's good news. But so, you know, I wouldn't start booking your train tickets massively yet, apart from Luton, for all the rest of them. For
Is
me,
that
I'm looking at it.
true, Nye? Is that
Yeah,
true
it's
that
true. It's true.
they're doing that? Because I find that very weird to believe. Because usually towards the end of the season, what they start to do is look and go, well, we want to pick the games where there's some jeopardy involved. So if all of a sudden
Yeah,
they
I mean,
pick
look,
whatever versus
you can make.
whatever, then you know, can they not change that fixture towards the end of the season?
That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. So, you know, God knows with Sky, so it might change again. But that's definitely the first half of the season, we're supposed to know in July, and the second half in November.
Wow.
That's what I've been
Well,
informed.
that's a big change because obviously last season, yeah, because last season it was that thing where they did it every so often or whatever, wasn't it? You didn't know. And
I mean, they're trying to cut that back because it could be like 3 or 4 weeks. And the thing with train times, obviously, you want to have a 3 month gap, because that's when you can pick up your cheaper train tickets and get it all sorted, and plan properly. So hopefully this will make it a little bit easier for us. Though I'm still looking at the fixtures and going, right, well, Blackpool away. I mean, I don't really don't like Blackpool as a town, to be honest. But you know, I would
But
stay where Mark Dooney was.
it's because, you know, like, you know, you don't like the hoi polloi. No, you're not into that sort of, like, you know, those people.
We could do Strictly Come Dancing or
You
whatever.
don't feel that.
We could go watch the match and
Thank
then
you, mate.
afterwards
If I'm
go
looking at
to.
this, right, where would them be? Where would them be if I wasn't doing not liking the hoi polloi, right? What of those games, what of those cities and towns are like really middle class?
Well, Exeter. Lincoln, I'd have thought would be where you're at. But I mean, I quite like I'm up for Blackpool. I think Plymouth would be interesting. I'm thinking about. I'm looking at.
Lincoln,
I'm thinking. I'm looking at. Sa
Lincoln and Burn were the two that I was thinking of, because it's going to be near where my daughter goes to uni, and she's also a Wimbledon fan, so that would be useful. But whether that's around, obviously Friday the 3rd is going to be Good Friday, so she'll be back home. Saturday 11th probably still Easter holiday, so she'll be back home. So like the two away games I was thinking of going up to visit her in Nottingham are like now pretty pointless because she's not going to be there, unless we go back up, which would be a bit crazy, which leaves me Mansfield Town. And I've been to Mansfield and I didn't like it. So
No.
I'm with you, Matt. I'm like struggling here. I
Yeah,
mean,
I
maybe,
know. Well,
you know.
I'm thinking Reading away, Blackpool or Plymouth away. Strangely drawn to Huddersfield away. I can't quite work that out. I'm thinking these are just Saturday fixtures.
Yeah, I can imagine late November in Yorkshire would be lovely and warm.
Yeah,
That
well,
sounds
no, but
great.
just be nice and cozy. So yeah, those are the games I'm looking at. I mean, I'd love to have done, like I said, I'd love to have done Cardiff, love to have done Exeter, but it's going to be tricky. But I think we're still going to get loads of people going up there. Our away travel is amazing, so we're going to have
Yeah.
lots of
I mean,
people
the
go.
other one that would appeal to me would be Barnsley away, but that's Valentine's Day. I mean, like, what is going on? It's
Well,
like they've chosen these fixtures.
Barnsley away works for me. I mean, my romance isn't just scheduled for one day. It's throughout the
Oh,
year.
I love that. I love that. Right.
And Leighton Orient on the first, I think that's on January the 1st. I think that'd be good. But
Yeah, I think
overall,
I'll probably do that. I'll probably do Leighton Orient will be that, but
there'll
that's
be
not
no
really,
trains though,
you know.
won't there? There'll be like no trains. Is January the 1st? I don't know.
Yeah,
Oh,
but you can
what's
park wherever you want for me. And like, okay, Adam, this doesn't help you, but it helps me and Matt because I
Yeah.
can just jump across, get across the river quite quickly to Orient, so it's
Yeah.
not bad for us.
I mean, I'm, you know, it's ex there is ex these are exciting fixtures because we're playing some sides that have, either recently been up in the top flight, sides that have been in the championship for a while. So, it's exciting. And I love the idea of some away trips. It's going to be brilliant. And I know that, my anticipation, just looking on what we brought to teams last year, I think even some of those midweek games, I think on the Cardiff game, I wouldn't be surprised if we bring almost 1,000 people to that game. That wouldn't surprise me at all. On a midweek in February, that would not surprise me. I think we're going to be
The
taking
thing
at
is,
least 500 people, at least 500 people, if not 1,000 people, to most of these games, which is brilliant.
Cardiff away is actually not that hard to get to from Wimbledon, from that side of London. You know, we actually can get out there quite relatively easily. It's not that bad. There will be others that I was looking at and go like, yeah, I'm not a fan of going to Stockport. Port Vale away on a Tuesday night, Matt, in January.
No. We did Port Vale last time. That was cool. We had an interesting time up there, but and we saw all the players. But yes, it's gonna be challenging, and we can't, we admit it's gonna be tough. But I think one of the things I'm really quite astonished by is that we have kept. Following today's announcement, we've kept the core of that playoff winning team. In actual fact, out of the team that started that day, I think we've lost three players. We knew we were going to lose Goodman because he was only on a one-year deal from Palace, and we all thought we were going to lose Tilly and Nerfel because their contracts had expired. So we thought they were going to get better deals, and they've gone. In what I can describe as a very shock move for me, we've kept Marcus Brown, which I think he's a great player. I'm really intrigued where he fits into a team which predominantly plays 3-5-2 or 5-3-2. So where does he fit in that? Because we've also earlier on this week re-signed Alistair Smith. Both of those on 2-year contracts. So where do they play together? In which case, we've got Callum Maycock. Will we be looking to move him on? Is he
So does Callum Maycock? Do you push one of those out wide? And Bugle goes out wide. I mean, like, You suddenly go, well, does Bugle go out wide? Does Makot go out wide? We've got Hippolyte as well. So
Oh yeah,
then
gosh, we can't. Yeah, exactly. Hippolyte. I mean, like, so.
that and Hippolyte was really good at the end of the season. We missed him for nearly the whole season.
Yeah.
And we've obviously I think Reeves is just a surefire one for starting anyway. But that feels like quite a solid midfield. I mean, I was really surprised by Brown. I was kind of glad about Hutchinson. I thought we'd have a Hutchinson. Brown was my surprise. So I think we're kind of a little bit ahead of where we were. Obviously, we've got Joe McDonnell, Matt, as well. We've not mentioned him,
Yeah. I
whatever.
mean, I think we're all expecting he's going to be, and he's again, he's signed on a 2-year deal. I think we're all expecting him to be the number two, the backup keeper.
Absolutely. I think so. I still think we're not far off where we wanted to be in it. That's a relatively, and because we did have injuries in key places towards the end of the season, and that feels like we're kind of strengthened. I think having that midfield as it is feels okay. I mean, I think we are. It's going to be a step up, so we just need to see what that golf is. Going to get that in like bucket loads on our first game of the season. But there you go. Let's see. I'm in a club that has still got loads of players on Premier League wages. So we'll see what that's like.
Yeah, but Adam, what do you think? Because I mean, it feels like we've got strength in depth a little bit in at the back, because we've got Steve Seddon back, and we've got well, what we've got five in midfield now. That's Hippolyte, Maycock, Reeves, Smith, and Brown. So that's five there.
I mean, the only thing the thing I don't know because I haven't watched a load of League One football is what the setups are like in these other clubs and whether Jackson is sort of now reviewing lots of material and thinking about how do we do a training regime where we can move people around a little bit and maybe we'll see a slightly different setup because that might be based on the players that we've got. Yeah, I mean, the signings we've done are fantastic. Like, they're
I mean,
great.
Adam, just on that, remember that Jackson was in charge of Charlton for half the season in League One. He was, and by all accounts, most Charlton fans are really pissed off to see him go. So it's not like he doesn't know League One because he's been there and was doing all right with Charlton there. So
I
he
think
wouldn't have a bit of it.
most Charlton fans now are quite happy with who they've got.
Yeah, that's because they just got promoted, but they like Jackson.
They like Jackson, and it was interesting. I was because around this area there's a lot of Charlton fans. I usually drop my daughter off at football training, go around to the local pub for a pint, and I've started chatting to people in there because I'm there every Wednesday. And it's Charlton fans, and they were all so happy for Jackson. They were saying it wasn't necessarily Wimbledon, but they were all so happy that Jackson about Jackson getting the side promoted. They've got a lot of love for him. But and the other interesting thing is there was a rumor there's a rumor going on that Charlton are buying Curry. Jack Curry. So that's an interesting thing. I don't know if there's any sell-on fee that would help us and
Yeah,
not these going to be going for
we can
millions.
do with every penny we need. So yeah, if there's a sell-on
Yeah.
fee, great. I'm sure. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm sure. Maybe, obviously, Mark couldn't be here, but he'll probably know, and he's probably shouting at his podcast machines, telling us what we should know.
I love the idea of someone shouting at podcast machines. But it does. I mean, it feels great. I mean, it still feels to me, is Steve Seddon is he a wing back? Because that's what we were playing before. Is he a wing back? And it still feels like we need another wing back on the right. We need a right wing back. And I would feel happier if we had a striker, another striker. Even though, again, you look at it in theory, I think we've got Stevens, Bugle, Kelly, Sass, and Foyo. So in theory,
I
we've
mean,
got
yeah, they just need to
five
step.
strikers.
Yeah, they just need to step up to that level. And if they do,
Yeah.
you could see them getting lots. You could see them having the opportunity to get lots of goals. I'm not saying they would get lots, but they'd get the opportunities if they stepped up.
Yeah. I mean, I just I. I mean, out of those five, I think there are two for me, Stevens and Bugle, which could do it, and then I know there's a lot of there's been a lot put into SAS, but is he?
Also with Theo, was that was you know we bought him, but like
It feels to me it feel that maybe that's a loan move that's coming up for him at some point.
I'm a little bit skeptical some front with him, and maybe they'd be like, I'm wondering whether we bought Theo with the idea that we'd put him out to loan, gets loads of experience, and then if we were to get relegated, he would be our forward for League Two.
No. Or not, well, hopefully he gets the experience that means he can be that League One. But you know, that's interesting. It still feels to me like we need a we need you know at least another wing back. And it can be and Sass can play that position. And then and so can Oggs as well. And then but it feels like we definitely still need another we need a striker. But I think we're done for midfield. I feel midfield feels quite strong to me, and our defence feels quite strong to me. Apart from a right back, and we definitely a striker would be is there. So, but we're moving in the right direction. I mean, like it's quite funny at the start of the week, everyone's going right. That's it. We've not got anyone. I mean, you know, the joke going around at the moment is that you know everyone is playing for us as. He's like played for the club, even though they were playing for us last season, or they played for us before. So we've not actually got anyone in who has got no connection with the club. Everyone we've signed over the close season has had some connection with the club. So it'd be quite nice to get someone in who maybe, you know, doesn't have that. Anyhow, yeah, it's gonna be fun to see what happens over the next week or so, next coming week. So the next thing, obviously, so we've got the fixtures coming. Oh, and the other thing with the fixtures is the Carabao Cup has come out the first draw for that, and it's just like, oh, chilling him away. It's just like, really?
Oh, please, just like honestly, F off, and while you're effing off, keep effing off. I mean, like, that is just like about as appealing to me as a kick in the head. I'm like not feeling that in the slightest.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I would not be surprised if that might not go our way.
Yeah,
So
and
yeah.
like,
And
yeah, I'm just not feeling it.
and then there's that ridiculous trophy, the cutting cut,
Vivo,
the
Vivo,
cut,
Vivo. Yeah,
FIFA,
something like
whatever it is. Yeah. And I know we've been drawn in with,
that's really great, that is.
oh yeah, is that,
Stevenage, Bromley, and Palace under 21s. I mean, like, please, again, just F off. I mean, I've got no love for any of those clubs, really, to be
No.
honest. So, you know, whatever.
I quite I think I might go and watch the watch us against Palace. That might be
Oh,
quite fun.
Matt, that is the EFL
Oh no,
trophy. You know the
we
rules.
avoid B teams. I know, I'll just get slated by people.
You will. And one of those will be your brother and me.
It does and yeah,
And
everyone.
so apart from everybody else on the podcast, Matt, yeah, you go to that game,
I'll tell you
legitimize
what.
the EFL trophy and B teams and the kind of slow demolishing of the football pyramid. That's fine. You do that. No
It's
worries.
like
Me
it's
and Adam
mate.
won't even mention it, will we, Adam?
No,
It's too
never.
late. It's too late. It's football's fucked. Anyhow, yeah, no, you're right. That B team competition is rubbish. Anyhow, I mean, I'm
They
hoping
tricked
it'd
you
be
by
like
giving it a new name, the Vivo Vivo. You forgot that it's
the
the B Team Cup.
Vivo. Oh no, it's the B team cup.
I should
I have
call
to
it,
remember
because
that.
why just call it the B Team Trophy?
It should be called the B team trophy. Yeah, really annoys me. Anyhow, and then the other thing that's happened today is the kit's been launched, and I was of the impression it was going to be launched next week in July, at the start of July, but yeah, it's out. And what are people's thoughts? I mean, like, you know, I know we all know Jonesy quite well. I think he's done a fab job, personally.
I've
I
got just
even quite like the second kit.
what I like about the second kit is I like it and then I grew to love it. and I grew to love it because I've seen what's written on the inside of the collar.
It's written on that.
And
It's yeah.
that is the
Yeah.
bit. And I have to admit that there are other podcasts that seem not to be of the same opinion as me on this. Whereas I think if they hadn't really flagged up what's on the back of the collar to that extent, I wouldn't have loved it as much. And now I really love it.
So in the collar of the home kit, and I think what I like about the home kit as well is it's the detail on the shirt, which is really nice. I think it looks sad, and I quite like. I know the collar's been. Some people like the collar, don't like. I like the collar, but on the inside of the collar, it's got embroidered come together, and then the second shirt. And again, I quite like the detail on the green there. That's quite the green and. It's green and black hoops. It looks quite, and on the in the collar there, it says, "We own our club." Is that what it
Boom.
says? And again, we're big fans of that. And then you've got the yellow, the third kit, which what Sports Direct have done. It's not Sports Direct. Sports Interactive. What they've done, which is quite nice, is they've given that sponsorship back to the club, so that we can sell it to another company to get some more money. So that third kit is now going to have Private Office Asset Management Limited on it on the yellow, and again, War Child's going to be worn on the. Second kit, which is lovely, and then on the home kit, it's going to be Football Manager and the new Football Manager logo. But I think it's great, and my sense is that it feels like a slightly darker blue.
It looks slightly darker, yeah. I think the home kit is fantastic. I think I like the collar, I like the detailing, I like the new Football Manager logo, which I hoped would be on there. I'm not always big keen on the kind of piping that goes down the sleeves thing. We've had that before, and I always found that a bit weird. But I really like the detailing. Definitely, the home kit is awesome. Come together, awesome. Obviously, the green and black hooped one. I need to see that in person to make my decision on that one, because I like the detailing as well, as you see it in those photos, but I want to see what that looks like in person. I don't find it quite as exciting. Obviously, War Child's on the front, so I'm really happy about that because I was pleased about that last season. We own our own club, obviously, in the collar. It's fantastic. And the your third one, the yellow kit, it looks all right. I'm not it's more it's like it's not like blowing me away at this point. So I'm definitely going to get the home kit, obviously. That's a given. It looks awesome, you know. I think I should be fair, at some point I have not bought the home kit. I've bought one of the other kits because I was not as big a fan of the home as one of the other ones. But I'm obviously financially doing slightly better, so I might buy two kits. So I'm gonna definitely buy the home one, and I'm gonna check the green one in person. I'm gonna go and double check whether there's any weird sizing differences. And do some silly Googling and maybe asking AI is whether Lotto versus Umbro sizing is any different in the large size, because that always makes me panic. Because I'm going to obviously order the home kit online straight, so I get it before the first home game. So yeah, and hopefully this time round, it won't just be left on my doorstep by DHL for some random person in Southampton to nick it. So there is someone else in Southampton who may well be wearing a last year's Wimbledon top because he nicked it off my doorstep. Don't trust DHL, that's all I'm going to say. Especially if he was a yellow parcel. Anyway, so yeah, maybe I should order two just in case.
I
No, I
remember now
think
you're
that,
getting
because
angry.
obviously
I remember you getting angry about
we need to
this.
raise more money for the club. So if you want to order two, Adam, that's fine. So you might want to just donate to the We Are Wimbledon Fund,
Yeah.
which I'm now allowed to say, aren't I?
You are allowed to say, because we now have there's a little loading like icon that started to appear that shows that it's launching very soon. Yeah. So yeah, it's all go. It's quite exciting. There's a bunch of people involved. Obviously, yeah, I'm involved, which is cool. We've been sorting out some of the logistics. There's a load of cool social media stuff that's coming. You know, I can't say too much about it. I can't really say who else is involved because it's up to them to say whether they want to. We've sort of said we don't want to be banging on about who's involved, but there's quite a real great bunch of Wimbledon fans. So that's, yeah, really exciting. and I'm really pleased. And some of the people on there are doing like their jobs are kind of social media stuff. So they're already telling us metrics and about like all kinds of bits I don't really understand. So that's yeah, it's really cool.
I
Very
think
cool.
the most important thing to say, there were a couple of things to reflect back on. Most important thing we're saying here is that we are asking those people that can afford to give.
Yeah,
And if you
and
can
the,
afford
yeah.
if you can if you can afford to give, give.
So the bit, I mean,
That's
the yeah,
great.
the big thing to say because is that, that we are Wimbledon Fund. All the FAQs have been updated, and there's some clear stuff on that. We're going to do some videos about the FAQs, so it's not, you know, it's asking for those who can afford it, and for the We Are Wimbledon Fund, it is specifically for the first team player budget. So we are making sure that that money goes directly to that, which is obviously different to the club's campaign, which has a broader remit. But again, it's the same thing. It's like it's not asking people to give money that they don't have. It's asking people to give money if they can.
And the reason that we're able to do that, I think we have to make it clear. And Niall, you've highlighted this before, is that because of the area that we're in, you know, in Southwest London, some of our fans do have the funds that are available to do that. But we realise that where Plough Lane is situated, it's in one of the more deprived parts of the borough. People around there, and there are a lot of our fans can't afford to do it. Don't give. And I don't think there's any pressure on anyone else to do that. And the other thing I was pondering on was what Mark Thomas was saying. You know, so in a weird way, you could understand where people's desire to sell the club comes from, because you know there are people out there who work hard all week doing a job that they might not necessarily like, or having a, you know, being in a difficult situation, and for that time they come along to watch the game, and all they want to do is see their team try as hard as they can and win, preferably. So I mean, I can understand, because you know next season's going to be a challenge. I think, and obviously those people who want to sell the club out, you're not going to be interested by what we've got to say, I'm afraid, because we're advocates for fan ownership. And we're advocates not just because of, you know, the PTSD now that we talked about before, but also because of we believe in, you know, it being a community asset. Everything that we've managed to do that have around, you know, that have come out of the club is because we're fan owned. The fact that DLAG exists and the Wimbledon Foundation is doing so much work is because we as fans were insistent that it was more than just, you know, a club, that it does all these other things as well, which we think is really important to the community, and we want to be flag bearers for football. And the truth is that it's unsustainable.
And I think the other thing I was going to say, Matthew, that I think it often comes out of these conversations when that come up every so often, is that they like I do believe that the Duns Trust board does listen to us and does feed in stuff to the PLC board, and I do believe that that makes changes to make our match day experience, our experience of Wimbledon, way better than any other club whose fans could, you know, shout as much as they like into the wind and won't be hurt. So I know some people say, well, the Duns
Yeah,
Trust
yeah,
board
yeah.
doesn't represent us, doesn't do anything. What are they doing? I don't believe that. I think they are doing stuff. I don't think it's obvious, always obvious how that connection works, but we know because we speak to people who are on the board, and of course everyone can go and speak to them at the kiosk and all that kind of stuff and ask what's going on. They are doing a lot of work talking to the club and talking to the people who run the, you know, the run the club, and making sure that those decisions and choices they make are within the remit that we want. And so I think things like picking the spot, you know, picking the sponsorships, getting that deal with War Child, getting the third kit thing, you know, that stuff is because we want to support local companies, we want to do things in the right way. You know, we don't pick sponsors that are going to look bad. We don't choose partnerships that are not going to function. And that's because that's what we've told the Donors Trust board numerous times of how we want things to be done. So I think, yeah, not only all the good stuff about the fact that it being a community asset, all those things, we do have a say in what happens.
I think, for us, for other people, and I've seen your comments. Thank you very much for those. There's not many, and that's fact. And we get lots of nice stuffs, which is lovely. know, that's where we're at. You know, it's not. I'm not saying this as any surprise. Anyone who's listened to us before will know this from any of our podcasts. I would really love it, and I'm not saying this in a malicious way. I think it would be great if there was one or two people who stood in the next DTB election that stood on that platform to sell the club. I would be really interested because I would like to see, you know, how you make that argument. And I think the argument has to, you know, if you're going to make it, it's got to be an honest argument, which is, I really just care about watching my team being able to compete with others. And the you know, like in you, to some people, you'd say the only way you can do that is by selling out completely. I think there's going to be the conversation about 50 plus one. I know out of all of you, I'm less bothered about that than anyone else, as long as the safeguards are in place. Yeah, it's interesting. And we'll come back to this conversation time and time again. And we're going to come back to it again when
But
it comes
yeah, I
up to
mean,
the DTB elections.
look out next week, because that's when the We Are Wimbledon Fund will relaunch. It should be quite exciting. I've got some insight to what you're going to get to see and the kind of things they want to do. And there's some really, it's not, you know, yes, you have, it's about donating, but there's some opportunities inside that as well that are going to be quite exciting. So yeah.
Cool.
And now we are all just on tenterhooks. So Adam, we will wait forward. I think we're taking a break next week, but like, you know, when we
We've
get, we'll properly review what goes on
imagine
when we're back next.
imagine have it not having a podcast in 1 week. It's just going to be crazy. I don't know what our listeners are going to think. They're going to get used to two podcasts a week. But Niall, just quickly before we wrap up, where are we with the football governance? What's going on?
All right, so what looks like is the 8th of July is the date of the third reading, the report stage, and the third reading. So, in theory, on that date, there could be a vote at the end of that day that will introduce a football governance bill and a football regulator for the first time in this country's history. That is what we're facing, 8th of July. There's a possibility
Wow.
the House of Lords might be silly buggers and ask to call it in. But even if that happens, there'll just be a couple of weeks delay. But we are basically in the final countdown. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I hate that song. To a football regulator, and it is looking pretty good. I've had some quite cool feedback from other people internally, and we'll just see what happens internally. What I mean, like DCMS and politicians and stuff. So we just have to wait and see what goes on.
Yeah, well,
Very
I mean,
exciting stuff.
I'm and you got support from the front bench, and they don't want to do another U-turn, so surely it's going to be.
I tell you, the thing that I've just noticed though about that is it probably means this week we're going to do two podcasts, next week we're going to do none, and then the following week we're going to do two, because the Monday's the 6th of July. Oh no.
No,
Anyway, so we
no,
may get an extra
the
special.
8th of July is Tuesday, so if you wanted, you could be, if you fancied it, live at Parliament. We could do a podcast live from Parliament.
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm excited. I'm excited. We can move some stuff
Now, if
around.
you want to come in, Adam, if you want to come in, if our listener wants to come in, just let us know. And we'll try and get a load of you in to Parliament to watch that historic vote as football changes once and for all.
I think we might just be in the pub now afterwards and join you at that bit.
If you join me in the pub,
Anyhow,
yeah, I'll be in the pub afterwards.
but it's yeah, anyhow, exciting times AFC Wimbledon. They always are. Great to know that we got players in. Like I say, I think we need two or three more. The club are going to be heading off to Spain, I think, shortly. They've got their the first pre-season match is crazily a week on Saturday. It doesn't feel like any time's passed since the playoff final. The kits are all out. They're looking great, which is absolutely fantastic. And it's all go, go, go. I mean, unless you want to go to Cardiff or Exeter, in which case it's like.
No.
Anyhow, thank you very much for joining me for this summer special. Thank you, my friend Niall. Thank you, Adam, with all the buttons. My name is Matt Cooper. We are the same old Wobbles. We're always here.